The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills,
and B-Ma.
In the house!
A special guest.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, B-Ma.
Thank you.
B-Ma is, you want to give us your real name or your alias?
Cindy Wilkin.
This is Sarah's mom. She's joining us. She's been hanging out with us for the weekend, visiting a little bit after the new year, did a little babysitting, a little museum attending, all kinds of fun stuff with the kiddos, and got to play some games with us tonight at game night. So we thought, what better way to talk about some of those new games that we've been playing than to pull her into the show, and so she's going to join us. What did you manage to get to try out tonight?
Press the word.
Letter press.
Letter press.
It was
sorry.
So close.
Press sorry. The letter.
You got it.
Tell us about that one, Kevin. Who's that from?
This is from Osprey Games. This is coming out in February 2020, so it'll be in shops soon. But it is a word game.
It is a word game.
And do you like word games, Bima?
I do indeed.
Did you win? You played against Melissa.
I did. But she came ahead of me 1 or 2 points every time.
Oh, man. I know the feeling.
Yeah.
And by 1 or 2, I mean like 10, 12.
Oh, no. Mine are only 1 or 2.
Oh, way to go.
I was glad that Melissa finally had a run for her money.
What? You're saying that I'm good at word games?
Yeah.
It's your full-time job.
Yeah, it's an interesting game. You're going to be drafting letters with the other players, and then there are some shared letters on the table, and you're trying to make words out of the 5 letters in your hand and the 3 out on the table.
But not cooperatively.
Not cooperatively. This is not letter jam.
Oh.
And the letters have different point values on them, so you write your letters, make your best word. Everyone reveals their word at the same time. See how many points you have. Interesting thing, though, there are some challenges where you get extra cards or by completing certain requirements, like scoring a 13-point word or not using any of the shared letters, things like that, because you're trying to collect letters
for
the final round.
Yeah. End of every round, you get at least one letter, but if you win the round or get second place, then you get another letter, which is really helpful, right?
It is helpful, and that's where I did beat Melissa.
Yeah, so once you have the final round, and you probably have at least 4, 5, 6, 7 letters, plus the shared letters, you can make a very big word, and basically it's whoever gets the best word the last round wins the game. Whoever has the most points the last round, doesn't matter how many points you got throughout the whole round. So,
right, because in the final round, there is no drafting, so you don't get any extra letters. It's just the letters you've collected in previous rounds and the shared letters.
One critique. Oh, go for it, Katie.
I was just going to ask, are you getting to choose the letters when you're drafting them, or are they like random
so
draws?
So you get a hand of 5
mm-hmm.
at the beginning, and you're going to pick one, and you're going to draft.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so you are getting to choose.
You're getting to choose, but you don't know what you're going to be given.
That's true. I'd be collecting some vowels right at the beginning, I think.
Right.
The nice R-S-T-L-N-E.
Thing, right. There is at least going to be one vowel every
round.
Those
aren't worth very many points, Will.
That's right. The shared letters has at least one vowel every round, which is nice.
Okay.
That's good. One critique is I like board games that have every component you need in the box. This game does not come with every component you need to play the game.
Oh, I did notice that. There were little scratch cards.
Yeah, so I was like, Sarah, I need some paper and pens. Because you actually do need to write the words out. Because not only to keep track of, you know, how many points they are, things like that, but to see what other people are writing. So,
was this a prototype or is it
this is a real pre-release? This is a real game.
Okay.
It's a very tiny box, though, so yeah. I'm expecting it's going to be a low price point.
I agree. I just
sometimes I'm okay with pulling out some extra stuff.
I know. It's just a critique.
Yep. Give me that game. One of the other games that we got to play this week that was very cool was Welcome to Las Vegas.
Welcome to New Las Vegas.
New Las Vegas.
It felt like the same old Las Vegas to me. I don't know. Bebo, I got to try that one out as well, right? No?
No.
Yes. Yes, you did.
I think you did. It was the roll and write game, or the reveal and write game, where you're drawing on your paper. So Welcome to Town. What's the original one called?
Welcome to the neighborhood.
The neighborhood, yeah. This is the new version that'll be coming out. I don't know when, sometime soon.
I think they said, springtime, so.
Yeah, but pretty neat. You're building casinos. There's, like, construction going on. You've got limos that you're driving around town making paths with, and the things that you cross in front of give you more points, and you're using the front and the back side of a sheet of paper in this one. So definitely a little meatier than the previous one. But
yeah, this time it has four roads. There's also golf courses that you can add to it. And then there's an interesting mechanism where you have to have enough money at the end of the game to pay for the construction that you do.
Feeding those people.
And so at the beginning, in the very corner of your page, you can vote to have the bank be very lenient in the loans that they'll give everyone, so everyone will end up with more money. And then you can also vote for them not to be. And so you'll secretly vote on your paper and fold the corner over.
Dog-ear it.
And so that nobody else can see what you voted. And then you'll play the whole game, and then you'll reveal at the end. So you're not actually sure how much money you're going to be lent from the bank. So you really have to prepare just in case. And you may, be trying to see how lucky you are in New Las Vegas, and maybe you'll have enough at the end. But, yeah, there were some definite new things that I liked about this one compared to the old one.
Bima did really good at it because we've played the other one a number of times. So I think we did beat her, but she was like right there in the running. What do you think overall? Were you overwhelmed by it initially? Because I was.
At first I seemed, at first you do feel overwhelmed, but once you get the gist of the game, it was pretty easy to catch on to.
Yeah, I think the nice thing about the game is you do get kind of two or three rounds where you're just writing a number in. And, you're not likely going to ruin your entire game if one of those is wrong in the first, number. Because you've got to fill in pretty much all those buildings in order to play the game. So it gives you three or four turns to learn what you're doing, figure out, I think if I do this, I'll probably be able to score more points. So, yeah, enjoyed it. A really cool one.
Yeah, this was one that I enjoyed, the original. So it was great to try out a new version of it with some new twists involved.
Yeah, it felt very different for being the right on paper, same type of thing. Very different mechanics.
One game that I played this last weekend with some friends, and it's not necessarily a board game. It's an online game.
You're not allowed to talk about that.
Maybe I'll talk about it at the end of the episode.
Let's talk about that at the end of the episode.
We'll talk about it at the end because it was a super fun game, and I would love to see it turn into a board game somehow.
Look forward to this at the end of the episode. But Ryan and Kitty, didn't you introduce some new games or play some new games with some new gamers brought them into the world of modern gaming?
We did. We have some friends who...
You have some friends?
That's we do. We have some friends. That is amazing.
I keep hearing about these people.
My friend Jeff. He's a great guy.
My friend Jeff. Love it.
Yeah. They... This is a family that we know, and they know that we're super into board games. They have a lot of friends who are in board games, but they apparently just this Christmas decided, I think we'll get into board gaming.
It worked.
Yeah. And they are, really into it now. They're like, yeah, let's play. Let's do it, So we invited them over, and they're like, okay. We're like, well, you can bring some games over that you want to play. We have tons of games here. We're up for whatever. And so they're like, well, we have these games, and they're like explaining some of the rules to us, and we're like, no, we got this. We've played these. This is Carcassonne. This is classic.
Yeah. We also played Dream On. I introduced that to them at my birthday last year, and apparently it really struck a chord with the kids, and they got it for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
And I could tell that
they were playing it wrong.
Lauren was not excited about it.
Oh, no?
She was angry playing with her kids. She's like, they're just throwing things down just super fast, and they're not connecting it to a story at all.
I felt bad.
She refused to play with us last night.
I don't usually play that one with my kids either. They rush through it so quickly.
No.
I cannot remember what's going. Yeah.
It's like a real dream. It just jumps from thing to thing super fast.
Yeah,
yes.
No coherence.
I've played it with your children as well, and that is exactly how it goes.
I would guess most children play that game that way. I don't know.
Yeah. There were quite a few, like, really random jumps where, you know, there's, like, this bird, and he sees a puzzle through a window. I was like, oh, man, there's, like, that's going to be so hard to remember this.
Yeah, it didn't flow.
Love
no,
it.
No, it didn't.
Love
we
it.
Did, on Saturday, go to Firefly Toys and Games.
Yeah, mm-hmm. How'd that go?
Columbia. It went really well. Was telling people about Tantrum Con and got to see some of our friends and fans. Mm-hmm. And I got to try out. The only new game I actually played there was the Han Solo card game.
Nice.
Like a tie-in with the Solo movie. Okay. I was really disappointed that they didn't just call it Sabacc or whatever
Uno?
From Star Wars.
Oh, no, okay.
Because it has, like, the Sabacc style
cards.
Oh,
okay, okay, yeah, yeah.
But it's a very simple, like, you try to have your hand add up to zero. And, you know, whoever...
Are they octagonal or whatever?
Cards. Yeah, they're weird hexagonal cards.
So the same game they play in the movie.
Yeah, it looks
probably the same game. But
it looks similar.
Looks like it. Yeah, and they're really hard to shuffle. Like, just very impractical.
Yes.
But
you did win a Millennium Falcon?
I did. I actually won the Millennium Falcon.
Is that actually in the game?
Yeah, it's the best, highest value token, I think, even more than a Star Destroyer, which doesn't make sense.
And well, then, we all know what happens in the movies. The
Star Destroyers go down all the time.
Yeah, and because of the Millennium Falcon.
And the other players, they might try to get a lower valued token, but if it's red or blue and they get a set of four reds or four blues, they can steal the Millennium Falcon from you. So
ridiculous.
I was like trying to prevent. I think there's only five of each, so I was like trying to get those just so that they couldn't steal it from me.
I think he was playing with kids, so...
I was playing with the Rasso boys. They were really...
You put them in a bag and punched
young
them a couple
teens.
Times.
Yeah. But it was fun.
Very cool. I got to see some pictures of it. It looked like a pretty big store.
It is
what was
huge.
The, yeah.
You know how big Boardwalk is. It's probably like five times
five
bigger.
Times?
I was really surprised. It is by far the largest free gaming area
yeah.
that I've ever been in for a game store.
Yeah.
For
I was
sure.
like, what to compare it to? Like... Not like a grocery store.
What?
It used to be a furniture store.
It used to be a furniture store. It's huge, but like, yeah, it's just, it's nice high ceilings, nice lighting.
What, like 30 or 40 tables?
30
set up?
In the back, and they had a huge retail space too.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, they
and
used their space really well.
There were pinball machines.
There was an entire pinball
room. There's a whole
room.
A whole room of pinballs and arcade.
And
they said they have a pinball tournament there, like every yeah. like month or week or something like that.
Yeah, so that's Firefly Toys and Games yeah. in Columbia, South Carolina.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump into a word from our sponsors.
This episode, we have two sponsors. We have DG Games Entertainment. Their game, Neomorphosis, is already on Kickstarter. This plays 1 to 4 players in about 1.5 to 2 hours. It is a cooperative game where you're fighting for your life against an insect alien horde, and your space station is in trouble.
Yeah, the artwork on this one looks pretty cool. So we got another one?
We do. Our second sponsor is Blueprint Gaming Concepts. And their game, Crimes in History, H.H. Holmes Murder Castle, is coming to Kickstarter January 13th. We're going to talk about it a little bit more in our Kickstarter conniption, and Kevin has a preview video for this game.
Yeah, we might as well jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode, we'll be talking about 9 games.
Will
coming.
We, Sarah?
Yeah, sorry.
Will we be talking?
But my voice has been real great this
it's
episode.
Been a rough one.
9 games coming to Kickstarter the week of January 13th, 2020.
Ooh. 2020.
2020. Start Ooh. Us off, Kevin.
Yeah, so let's talk about this H.H. Holmes Murder Castle Crimes and History board game. It has just a cool... name to it.
Sounds right up Melissa's alley too. Is that
So is this like historical crimes or like time
crimes. So are you familiar with time the crimes. World's Fair in Chicago with H.H. Holmes?
I was there.
Where, like, it was a murder, like, castle.
Yeah.
He had, like, a hotel, yeah. And he was a serial killer.
Yeah. Oh, that's creepy. Yeah. No, yeah. I didn't realize that. No, yeah. I'm not familiar with that at all.
Yes, this is actually historical. So, crimes and history. So, I guess this is the first in a theme of games that they're going to be bringing from Blueprint Gaming Concepts. This is a what I would refer to as an action drafting game, where you sort of like Puerto Rico, you know, where you have the different actions that you can each that you can take, and you can in this game you are trying to move around a castle and collect evidence. And Holmes, H.H. Holmes, not Sherlock Holmes, H.H.
Oh,
Holmes is...
Oh, that Holmes.
Oh, he's moving around the castle, which is bad because he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
And he hurts you from collecting evidence and things like that.
It sounds creepy.
Yeah. So those actions could be like, if you are the active player, I could take the move card and I get like an extra movement. So I get sort of a more powerful action. Or if I'm going to collect evidence for my action, I get to get two pieces of evidence instead of just one, whereas everybody else around the table also gets to take that action, but it's just a simpler action.
So are you trying to like catch the guy? Or are you trying to prove that he's the murderer?
You're collecting evidence, and what that means is there's actually these cubes in the different rooms, and mm-hmm. you're trying, everyone sort of is randomized what you actually need. I need two blue cubes, two red cubes, a yellow cube, and a whatever, black cube.
Mm-hmm.
So every game's going to be a little different on what you need to collect, but it really is more of a set collection. It's not like you are trying to figure out a mystery or anything like that. The one cool thing in the game is the board starts out really small with four tiles, and on a turn, you can actually explore the castle more. So you're actually turning sort of like Betrayal on the House on the Hill, where you're actually like the castle is getting bigger and bigger, and you're starting to explore more and more. Can be dangerous because you could bump into Holmes. There's events that happen in the game, and
do you die if you bump into him?
You do have you basically lose evidence cubes, which is harder to get. Then you have to fill the evidence tracks back up on your player board, and you have to make it back to the laboratory with all the evidence to win the game. Mm-hmm. So yeah, wow. two to six players, so just play quite a few more. So that is H.H. Holmes Murder Castle, coming January 13th. Melissa, what do you have?
And it is competitive.
Yes, competitive, yes.
So on January 13th, Dr. Finn's Games is bringing School of Sorcery. This is a re-implementation of the Institute for Magical Arts, and this is a two-player game. It plays in about 30 minutes to 45 minutes, and it incorporates dice rolling, using your dice to then collect cards. It has a little bit of area majority and influence. Basically, the School of Sorcery is in a state of the headmaster, Dr. Phineas, is missing.
Oh, no.
So,
state of bewilderment.
Is it spelled like his name, Dr. Finn? Yes.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, it is. I'm sure it's just a coincidence.
I'm sure right. It is.
Anyway, so the headmaster is missing, so the two senior wizards are competing against each other to fill his shoes. And so you have contrasting ideas about how you want to run the institute. So you're trying to gain trust of colleagues, but basically you are rolling dice and placing crystals onto different cards in an attempt to win those cards. And those cards will give you special powers or victory points. So it's a dice allocation game for two players in about 30-ish minutes from Dr. Finn's Games, coming January 13th.
So the headmaster goes missing, and instead of, like, looking for him, they're all like, I'm taking his spot.
Yeah, I guess you don't want to mess with those magical schools.
I was going to say, now I wonder how he went missing.
All right. Ryan, what do you have?
Coming from Dottail Interactive Incorporated. Woo-hoo. I think it's called Dottail. I'm not exactly sure how they want to pronounce it. This game is called Grenda Search for Lost Triumphs. And apparently there is this priceless book of the gods, which is named Grenda, and it's been torn asunder into several pages that have then been lost. And you represent one of four heroes that are trying to reassemble the book. So there's a competitive aspect to this game and a cooperative aspect to it. So you can kind of negotiate with other people to be your allies, but they might turn on you, from what I understand. There's area control because you're going around this map. But the big part of this game is there's like 244 miniatures to it.
Ooh,
so
wow.
You have your hero miniature and your army of like 35 guys, and then there's like 100 unaffiliated people.
100
well.
Nice sound effects.
It's our new sound effect system.
It looks like they're trying to make a really massive, you know, adventure game here. The time for the game, playing time, is 2 to 3 hours.
Woo!
So buckle up, dedicate an afternoon to it. This is coming out January 15th, so if this sounds of interest to you, check it out. Grenda, Search for Lost Triumphs. Katie, what do you got?
All right, so I'm talking about Dungeon Ball. The theme of this game is the idea that all of the dungeon monsters, when they're waiting for new heroes to come into the dungeon, decide to make a football game to keep themselves occupied. So,
like American football?
Yes, okay. Exactly. It is. It is American football to a T. It's got...
In a dungeon.
Yes, in a dungeon. But it's interesting to me that it's got all of the right terminology, halftime, Hail Mary passes. You've got four... You know, you got four downs to try to make your drive towards the goal. You know, it's like, it's got all of the right terminology, and they've just put it into a board game. So that's really interesting. You are going to be playing, it's a two-player game, or you can play it solo. They have an AI deck that you can use to, you know, that randomizes what the other team's going to do, but... You've got two teams, just like you would in football, and you're attempting to get down to score a goal. You're playing cards against each other, like a defense would select a card, and then the offense would then try to make a play. If the defense matches the right color on the play, and they've got several different colors, then it's a defense, you know, defense has won that down. So then you've got like halftime, then the other player gets to make their march towards the other goal. And, it's just got like a lot of different elements to it. It's even got a, dexterity based part if you want to play that way. It gives you a dexterity based thing where you can actually like attempt a field goal by flicking it at an actual field goal.
Is it a paper cardboard or a paper football?
No, it's not a paper football. No,
it's a football shaped die.
There is a football shaped dice in the game. Or you can do just a dice based you need to roll a certain number to
I'd
make
be afraid
football.
Of losing that die if you're flicking it.
Well,
there's other games where you flick components and you don't worry about losing them.
Yeah. I don't know.
Kevin worries.
You're flicking it at the board game box. Like,
oh, okay.
So, like, the top of the box has the goal printed in it. So
fear's relieved.
If you're really, 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 really bad...
Fear's bad.
You might need to watch Fear's where bad. It goes.
Yes, definitely watch where it goes. So that could be really comical if somebody is really bad at that. But anyway, so that is Dungeon Ball. Ryan and I have a preview video for this, so check that out on our channel. Will, did you have something?
I do. So in 1981, something truly fantastic was created.
Will Meadows.
That's right. But also that same year, the game Dark Tower was invented and published, and Restoration Games is bringing a brand new version. It's actually the sequel to it, Return to Dark Tower, to Kickstarter. It looks magically delicious. It's got...
That's the wrong franchise.
Is there a franchise for this? It's got some fantastic designers behind it. Isaac Childress is on board. Rob Davio is part of it. Several other designers, lots of great illustrators. And the game itself looks just diabolical. There's a ginormous... I don't even know, 2 foot tall looking. It's probably not that big, but giant plastic tower that sits in the middle of the board, the dark tower.
Like a dark tower.
The dark tower. It is a technological masterpiece.
It's pretty amazing what they did with this.
It looks very cool. There's an app that's associated with it, and the tower actually, so you're in the game, it's a cooperative adventure game. You're trying to fulfill quests. You are taking these cool little skull-looking plastic head things and dropping them into the top of the tower, and then you're not really sure what's going to happen at that point.
Like
they might
sulking kind of?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Okay.
You drop them into the top of the tower. The tower has like maybe like 12 windows in it. And those windows like open and move and reveal different things.
Oh
they
my.
Might drop the skull. The skulls might fall out, kind of dice tower action, and land on a specific territory. And then you would have something that happens as a result of that. They might reveal, like, there's an app that goes with it. And the app is, I can't even describe how this works. The tower is controlled, connected to the app. The app may tell you, like, reveal window number 2 or whatever. And so you open window number 2, and it might just be hollow and there might be nothing there. Or the inside componentry of the tower may have rotated to reveal a symbol. I don't know what it's called, but, like, a specific symbol that relates to a place on the board. Just a ton of stuff going on in this game.
That's pretty cool.
It really does look pretty fantastic.
It sounds like a masterpiece of production.
It does. I'm not sure how they even pulled it off, but Restoration Games does some cool stuff. The tower looks great. The app looks pretty cool. I think they're still working on that. The card art for the game looks really magical. I was trying to figure out the play time. I don't remember what that was. I don't know. 60 minutes to 120 minutes. So you're going to get a lot of variance because the app, like depending on what bad guys you kill in the game, the app will like switch up the game as you play it. So it's not random. It's actually like making intelligent decisions.
Because there's different phases in the game.
Right, depending on how well you do in it.
Cool.
But you're going to be doing a lot of fighting. It is cooperative, so you're working together. Some push your luck, different things like that. But it looks really cool. I'm sure they're going to make a fortune on this Kickstarter. I will be really interested to see the final product and get to test it out. But be sure to check out Return to Dark Tower from Restoration Games on Kickstarter. Sarah, what are you looking at?
So one that we missed, we recorded last week's episode a little bit early during Christmas holidays. So one that launched on Kickstarter January 6th was Dungeon Party, and we wanted to mention this one. They have already funded, so you can check it out and see what stretch goals they may be unlocking. This is from designers Glenn Drover and Jason Kalpaka, and it is being brought to Kickstarter by Forbidden Games. This is a dexterity party game. In the game, you will be constructing a dungeon with some treasures, some monsters, and some rooms. And then you're going to reveal, and everyone will have their own character, and it'll have some health stats and stuff. And then you'll proceed to try and take out the monster. And you'll do that by bouncing coins onto the monster coaster. So this is a take on the game Quarters. So you'll have the different coins that it'll come with. This one will come with, instead of just using quarters, they'll have custom coins for the game. And you'll try and take turns taking out the monster by getting your coin to land on the coaster. It was pretty comical playing this one.
Pretty comical how bad we are at it.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, yeah, I guess I haven't really played very many games of quarters ever, so... I wasn't the greatest at it. It did take a little bit of practice to get going.
Yeah, it's definitely set up as the type of game that you actually would pull out at a restaurant or bar or whatever, because some of the actions on the cards are things like go convince someone to let you have a bite of their food, or you have to buy somebody a drink if you can't flip this coin or whatever. So it's definitely a very social party light strategy game, mm-hmm. but it's bathed in pretty heavy like dungeon crawler terminology and skill checks and things like that. So it's a good mix of things. It's for the right audience, people will love it, I'm sure. Obviously, they've already funded.
Yeah. Yep. So this is Dungeon Party from Forbidden Games. It's already up on Kickstarter, so you can go check it out now. Kevin.
Leader Games is launching a Kickstarter called Oath. This is a game for 1 to 5 players. It takes about 60 to 90 minutes to play, designed by Cole Worley, and the artist is Kyle Farron. This team, they've teamed up before with other games. The Leader Games is known for Vast and Root, two very popular games. This one, like I said, is 1 to 5 players. You are sort of taking a role of agents who you have different objectives. You could try to bolster the old order, or you could scheme to bring the kingdom to ruin. So it's really up to you how the game is going to be progressing. And I'm not sure exactly if it's going to be a campaign type game, but it seems to be that way because it says that there's like not any scripted narratives or anything like that, but that the history is going to grow to be unique as the players build the game out. So I'm really interested in how that's going to work. Because there's different things that could happen in the game. Really interested in it's an area majority game and some card drafting. So, yeah. One side note, though. Return to Dark Tower and Oath are in a video that's already live. That not live yet while we're recording. But it's going to be live when this podcast goes live. I decided to do a new video.
Ooh.
It's called Top 10 Kickstarter Predictions.
Nice.
2020.
I may have peeked at that on our YouTube secret channel page.
Did you watch it?
I watched the first little bit of it, yeah.
Okay. What did you think of the idea?
Oh, I love it. Very cool stuff.
So what I did was I picked 10 Kickstarter campaigns that I knew about, some big ones, and I guessed how much I think they're going to make.
I'll be curious to see if you can nail it.
Return to Dark Tower was on there.
Yep.
And Oath was on there. So you have to watch the video to see what my predictions were. So
do we have to, like, I feel like you should get some kind of reward. Like, either we get to pie Kevin if he's over, or he gets to eat a pie if he nails it.
I get to eat a pie. Great.
You get to eat a pie.
You get a pie per Kickstarter.
Per Kickstarter. So 10 pies. That could be a lot of pies in my face.
It could. We'll record those. It'll be great.
That'd be another video. Very cool. So someone's going to talk about Shiver Me Timbers. Who's talking about that one? Ryan, go for it.
I'm going to also weigh in.
Weigh in there, Katie.
So coming January 14th is Shiver Me Timbers from, I'm going to slaughter this, Weltflucht Verlag. Or maybe it's Verlag.
That's fine.
Anyway, it's a German company. I think it's German anyway. Regardless,
it looks awfully German for it to not be a Shiver Me Timbers.
Shiver Me Timbers.
This is a relaunch of their Kickstarter.
Yep.
We actually did a preview video of this.
Oh, let's go check it out.
Pretty sure. Mm-hmm. The idea of the game is you are a pirate, and there are 5 of 10 randomly drawn victory conditions, and you're traveling around this map that you generate. So everybody...
generate the map at the beginning of the game.
Everybody takes a port and...
I remember you guys playing this one.
Or whatever.
A sea you path. Sort of,
yeah,
I don't know what you'd call
you
it.
You sort of link them up. And it's sort of like that recent Star Trek board game.
Ascendancy Outer Rim?
I think it's Ascendancy. I haven't actually played it, but it looks like that. And... So you're going from port to port, and you're completing different missions that you have.
Yeah, you pick up different missions at different ports.
Yeah, and different ports let you do different things.
Yeah, and they may require you to go to new places and do certain things and whatnot.
Yeah, so some ports might have missions. Some of them might have. Like resources that you
yeah you can
are
transport
trading.
Goods
and then different places along the paths might have monsters that you have to attack, or you can attack other people's ships, and there's just all sorts of great piratically themed goodness to the game.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, once a certain number of victory conditions are complete, it might be all 5. I don't actually remember. You end
I think it was
game,
something like 2. You choose
you,
2.
You choose 2
on.
Of them, and if you completed those, you get bonus points.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever has the most points wins, of course. But it was a lot of fun. I really liked that as you go through the game and you're upgrading, you physically add additional sails onto your ship or additional guns.
Cool. Or additional cargo holds.
Yeah, make your ship larger.
Yeah.
It was very neat.
It had neat components.
I'm assuming that's still in the relaunch. I don't actually know what all is different, but the game I played was awesome, and it deserved to be relaunched. So definitely check it out. Shiver Me Timbers, January 14th.
We've got one more game to talk about in our Kickstarter Recognition segment. It is called Foundations of Rome.
Ooh.
Yes. So this game is for 2 to 4 players from Emerson Matsuuchi, and it's being published by Arcane Wonders. Give you a quick rundown, and then we're going to jump into an interview with Emerson himself.
What?
Yeah, so we actually have a prototype copy here at Tantrum House, and it is a city-building game, and you are all trying to... You're architects, and you have basically three-dimensional building pieces on your player board, and everyone starts with the same number of buildings. And throughout the game, you're going to be purchasing lot cards because the game board itself is divided into a grid of lots of A1, A2, B1, B2. And you're basically buying those lots throughout the game, trying to position yourself to put the buildings you want out onto the board because those buildings themselves have population and coins and ways to get more points throughout the game.
And space requirements.
Yes, some of them are like 1 lot cards, some of them are 2, 3, and 4 lot cards. And there's a lot of strategy going on because on your turn, you can buy a lot card, get income, or put a building onto the board. It seems pretty easy, but what you do, when you do it, what lot or what buildings you put out on the game is it's pretty cool.
Well, so. And it's a random draw of cards to see what lots are being available be bought
right
that
in the
round.
Market. Yes, yeah. But eventually all the cards will come out because a game lasts over 3 rounds, and the rounds are sort of they go by the lot cards themselves. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it reminds me a little bit of Acquire with board and trying to get the correct spaces so you could build your companies.
But way cooler looking because the buildings themselves are really fantastic, like Roman, you know, Romanesque with pillars and everything else. And then you get everybody's out on the board. It looks really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's jump into our interview with Emerson.
Hey!
Hi. Thanks for having me over.
Yeah, so Emerson, you design board games, and can you tell us a few of the ones that have already been published?
Okay, probably my most notable one is the Century series.
Yeah.
And a couple of other ones that, if you're more on the thematic side, one of my, this one has a soft spot for me, is Spectre Ops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice hidden movement game.
Yeah, and I have, I'm just looking at the back wall over here, I have Reef and Vault, which just came out last year as well.
Yeah, Vault is almost like Robo-Rally-ish, right? A
little yes, bit? Yes, it is. Yeah. It's kind of like Robo-Rally in a shortened time frame and more combat-oriented.
Yeah, definitely more combat going on. I like Reef. I think Century might be one of my favorites that you mentioned there, although I will say I have not been able to play the third version, which I've heard is one of the best, like the best in the trilogy. So,
okay. Well,
man, I'll have to get. Yeah.
I'll have to arrange to get a copy in your hand somehow.
That'd be great.
Ooh, and the Gollum edition: 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 9.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Thank you too much. So, Emerson, you're from New York, is that right?
Yes, I'm coming out of Long Island, New York.
Have you lived there most of your life, or tell us a little bit about yourself?
No, actually, I was. I actually slowly migrated east. I was born in California. Spent most of my life in Las Vegas, actually. Then I kept traveling east.
Is that where you got your love of gaming, or?
in a way, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
I've always been into games. Strangely, I abhor gambling, though.
Oh, okay.
Good. I don't really like casino games.
That's why you left Las Vegas, all right.
Yeah, that's where I left Las Vegas. I went to college in Pennsylvania, so in Pittsburgh, and then started to migrate my way to New York. And now I was living in Manhattan, then I went further east to Brooklyn, and I've gone even further east to now Long Island.
Wow, you don't have much left.
Emerson's going to be, next time we talk to him, he's going to be on a boat off of Long Island. Yeah. All right,
I'll be going to the UK next.
Oh, no, don't leave
us. No, I think it's as far east as I'm going to go.
Very cool. Well, I know you're always working on prototypes, and you're always working on some new things coming out, and we have you on the show today to talk to you about the new game coming from Arcane Wonders, Foundations of Rome. So tell us a little bit about the history behind you working on this one.
Okay, so this actually has a really colorful and interesting history in that this was the spawn of the idea originally came, I think, back in 2014. So it's been...
Yeah, it's been like 5 years. Yeah.
Maybe it's 2015.
All right.
When Arcane Wonders actually had the rights, or they were interested in a space station building game.
Mm-hmm.
And the original designers, they were kind of struggling in terms of, I guess, balancing and Arcane Wonders. And specifically, Tom Vassell actually approached me. He was the one that approached me. Tom Vassell from the Dice Tower said, listen, there's a game that Arcane Wonders is interested in, or that they're interested in collectively for like the Dice Tower's Essentials line.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this cool theme about, you know, building out a space station, but they couldn't quite get the numbers balanced. And so, because I guess I have a background in programming and technical stuff, they said, hey, can you help us kind of like math out the system and see what I can do in terms of like developing the game? And so I had started working on it, and I came up with some cool ideas of how to maybe change some aspects of the game, maybe streamline a couple of elements, and also enhance and I guess in a way I'm doing air quotes here, Euroizing.
We understand what you're saying. We understand.
Yeah. So I did a lot of work, but then they had lost the rights to the game. And so they came back to me and says, hey, we lost the rights to the game, but we know you did a lot of work on this project. Is there any way that we could salvage some of the work that you've done? And I said, well, if Space Station is kind of like out of the picture now, maybe what I can do is I could take a lot of the ideas that I had and turn it into a city building game. So I started that whole process of iterating, but by the time that I actually got something that I was really, really happy with, it was about 2 years later. So this ended up being around 2016. So it was quite a long cycle of just kind of iterating and trying out different ideas. And in fact, there's like sort of like a running joke within my gaming group that, you know, a lot of the prototypes that I have are all city building games. It's because I was just trying out one idea after another.
To see what worked. I gotcha.
Yeah. So when I submitted the game to Arcane Wonders, finally, when I was really happy with it and I felt like it fit their criteria of what they wanted as a product, my title was simply City 7. And the reason it was like the seventh sort of experiment.
Not Seven Hills, I got you.
So I had six other like city building prototypes that were all very quite different, or they had a different basis, a different foundation, if you will. So this was the seventh one, and for a while the name kind of stuck, and I thought that maybe the game would actually be coming out called City 7 because it had a little bit of a nice ring to it. But they decided that, hey, there's a lot of city building games that are coming out recently, some really good ones, I might add, such as like Expansity or High Rise.
Yeah.
So they decided, hey, why don't we change the theme up? And then so we went through a whole cycle of just trying to experiment with different themes. So we went from, I think we started with sci-fi. So we went in sort of like Lunar Colony. Then we dabbled in a bit of Atlantis over here.
Mm.
We did a little bit of fantasy over here. And we kind of went around for a little while until we finally settled on, let's do something historic. Because it's a very unoffensive theme. It's something that people can get excited about, too, especially when they see the pieces.
Yes. Oh, man, I agree with you on that.
So like historic Rome, or I should say pseudo historic Rome, because there's a lot of embellishment in terms of like architecture.
It's, sure.
There's a lot of cool, very stylistic bits. So it gave the sculptors an opportunity and Arcane Wonders as a company to like really come out with something that is very eye-catching and very appealing. on the tabletop. So that's the reason why they went from a modern city building game into a Roman themed game. And in terms of the mechanics didn't change very much at all.
Cool. And you figured out that Rome was built on seven hills, so it went from city seven to a city built on seven hills. I like it.
There you go. Yep.
I did really enjoy it. Visually, it's got a really nice look to it. Who did all the sculpting on it? Do you know? The look is very consistent, very cool.
Yeah, I apologize. I didn't come prepared with the name of the sculptor.
That's fine.
Maybe I can get it to you guys in the show notes somewhere.
That's fine.
Sure. We can dig that up. It does look great, though. Each player has their own board that's covered in miniature city building pieces, and then you're all working together on a huge board where everybody's pieces come together.
Yes.
It's all competitive.
Right. But it does look like, I mean, when you finish the board, it looks like some overhead aerial shot, you know, of the city of Rome. It's a very cool looking build out.
Yeah. That was a part of the design goal was that when you're done with it, you've built the entire city out and you have something that you can take a look at, take a picture of if you wanted to. So
yeah, very picturesque.
Yeah.
I love the game that it's simple in the rule set because pretty much you can tell someone, are you going to do income? You're going to get lock cards. You're going to build, but the strategic gameplay and when you do it, what buildings you're going to put out, you know, it's really up to you what you're going to do on your turn. And I think it's just a challenge to figure that out. I love that in a game.
Yeah, that was one of the goals and one of the reasons why it took me several iterations was because we wanted a game that was very incredibly approachable. So I was using Ticket to Ride sort of as my model. That are the example that I'm trying to achieve in terms of the streamlined rule set. So in Ticket to Ride, there's like three things that you can do. So you can build a route, you can take cars, or you could take a new route. I was trying to think, okay, what is the most amount of depth that I can put in by just having three things that a player can do, make those three things very, very simple, and see if the depth can come from the design space or the space that the players can explore, which is going to be the central board and the buildings that you put out there.
When did you figure out or when did you decide to go to the overbuild mechanic where you can actually build on top of smaller buildings? Was that later in the process or was that sort of something that happened as part of the very beginning?
Yeah, that was actually one thing that was there from the beginning, and it might have been a relic. Yeah, it might have been sort of a natural evolution of the idea, because when we're building something out in space, in 3D space, you're kind of building on top of things that are already there.
Mm.
So that was always there. In fact, looking back at all the previous iterations and all the previous designs the experiments that I had, they always had some way of building over buildings. Either to build them taller or to replace them with something bigger.
I love it. I mean, it makes the game it takes the game to another level because it's not just tiling where you're putting things in spaces. It's like, oh, I can actually put things on top of things to basically tear down what was there to build up the bigger thing.
Yes, exactly.
Cool.
Where are you guys at in the process as far as inserts for the box and final instruction manuals and all that stuff? Are you guys ready to roll? Is this wrapped up package?
Actually, I think the last interaction I had was we were just going over some of the wording of the rules.
Cool.
So working with someone who's doing the editing for the rules at the moment, just trying to fine tune the wording so that it is as clear as possible, which by the way, is my weakness. When it comes to editing and making rules very clear, it's very incredibly difficult for me to do that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
talk to my wife, Melissa, since she's a full-time editor.
She's got the skills. I cannot make it concise.
Well, so you have the in-house talent to do that.
We do. Oh, man. So this is going to Kickstarter January 14th, if I remember correctly, from Arcane Wonders. Any final words other than back the campaign?
Well, I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope that it lives up to the expectations. Seeing as how the box is tremendously, it's a sight to behold.
It's big.
So, as a designer, you may not know this, but do you know how big the actual box will be in like the the retail or the version, the Kickstarter version?
So what I was told is that it will fit in a Calyx.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So it could be like, have you seen the Suburbia Collector's Edition? Because it fits in a Calyx too.
Oh, no, I have not.
Yeah, barely.
Barely.
The Calyx is the key. I love that that's our measuring standard for what is the perfect size board game. Has to fit in a Calyx.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been asked that. It's like, well, will it fit in the Calyx? And we can comfortably say, yes, it will fit in the Calyx.
Oh, okay.
It may take up one unit of it, but it will fit.
An entire cube.
Man. And I know right now the prototype that we're playing is just goes up to 4 players, but I believe it actually can go to 5 players.
Yeah, when I submitted the design, it scaled from 2 to 5 players.
Cool.
Very cool. So is there anything else that you're working on that's exciting coming down the pipe? What are you most excited about next?
He's working on his magic trick, right?
Your magic trick?
His next magic trick.
My magic skills are getting pretty rusty because I haven't been using them very much.
Oh, man. No. Emerson, I thought we were going to do a little
live show.
I've been too busy sneaking around in a cardboard box.
That's right.
Very nice.
It was great having you on the show, Emerson.
There's going to be a portion of people who get that reference, and then there's going to be people who are completely lost.
Scratching their heads.
Yeah. So something to add to the show notes as well.
There we go.
We'll definitely add that. So it's beginning of the year here. What's the next conventions you'll be at? I'm assuming Origins?
Yes. But for me, the next one that I will be at is going to be TotalCon.
Okay. Which is
up in Massachusetts. It's end of February. So I think it's around February the 23rd, I believe, around there, or around that weekend.
Good. Well, we'll have to get you down to South Carolina for TantrumCon someday.
Yes. I would like to come. Let's see if we can make that happen one of these times.
That'd be awesome. Good.
And hopefully we'll see you at Origins and, best of luck on the campaign here for Arcane Wonders Foundations of Rome, and looking forward to seeing what new prototypes are coming down the pike too.
I will be sure to bring them to Origins.
All right. Good. We'll look forward to it, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Really cool talking to Emerson, getting to the inside story on that. What I really want to know is, what is that space game? Because I want to try that out.
The one that they were working on?
Yeah.
That they don't have the license to. It's probably like back in 2015, it might already be out. We might not even know.
Right, that's true. It could be totally different now. It sounded cool.
It might be Martin Wallace's Rocket Man.
Ooh, what? I love the fact that he does put so much thought into his games. I don't think I've ever played one of his games and not felt like, oh man, this is just smooth as butter. Everything fits together, works really well. It's so balanced.
You can tell he spends the time. One other thing I wanted to mention is that Tantrum House will have 2 videos for Foundation of Rome. One will be a preview video, and we also are doing a playthrough video that should be up on our channel this week.
Cool, so. Yeah. Definitely check that one out. Hopefully, I'll win.
Don't bet on it, Will.
Don't bet on it.
I said hopefully. Sarah and I had an opportunity this past week to go on a little retreat and had a lot of fun, did some cool stuff. And one of the things that we got to do in the evenings as we were just goofing off was try a pretty cool game out. I don't know that it really works on the show, because otherwise we would have been playing it right now. But it's a really fun, clever game, and I'll let you tell them about it.
So in the game, it is called TKO, and it's spelled T-E-E, like a T-shirt. And it is played on Steam. Yes.
Yeah. So you have to have a computer to run it, but then
everybody else plays on their iPhone or phones. In the game, the first round, you'll very, very quickly draw a picture, and you'll get to draw 3 pictures. And
there's
then,
prompts for the pictures?
No.
You just draw random stuff?
You can just draw whatever you want. You can ask for a prompt if you're really stuck, but you just draw whatever you can think of.
Oh, wow.
And
you're
then,
drawing it, you know, like paint style with your finger on your iPhone.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, a rough version of Microsoft Paint, because it's just with your finger on your phone. And then you'll have 3 phrases or words you'll need to input in the next round.
Yeah, round 1, round 2.
Round 2. And then the third round.
So when you're doing those words, though, the same thing. Like, you're supposed to write in funny, goofy stuff. The beauty of this for us was that we've been hanging out with these people for, like, you know, a day and a half. So funny stories from earlier in the day now become relevant, and you tweak them just a little bit. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. And then the third round, It takes all of the pictures that everybody drew, and we played full 8-player games, so there was a lot to choose, a lot in the going on. And then it matches
three phrases each.
Yep, so and it matches them together, and you have to pick which picture and which set of words you'd like to go together, and then it will put so each person's kinda, up, and then
you kind of get a vote. Swipe between like which one of these three designs do I want to use. You know, this first one, I can't even tell what this is. What is this supposed to be? I don't know. Second one, this is a terrible looking flower. Skip that. Third one, oh, a taco. Okay, that's pretty funny. And then you're swiping through the phrases below it because you're designing a t-shirt is what you're doing. And so then it populates these t-shirts that people have made from just random comments and random photos. And then you go on to the final round.
Yeah, and you vote on like this t-shirt design against this t-shirt design. And what was hilarious is Will had drawn this really great cartoon taco.
Oh, thank you.
And then we had this joke about we were eating so much food at this retreat earlier. Someone said, I never forget to pack my stretchy pants when we come to this. And so that was a phrase I put on the shirt. And so someone had gotten those two together and made the thing. So it was this great taco with the phrase, I always pack my stretchy pants. And what's amazing about this game
what you for when you go get is tacos. You,
at the end of the game, you can go back and actually order the shirts.
Oh, print on demand. Cool. That's pretty yes. cool.
Yeah, that part is a pretty brilliant thing because if you play this at a family reunion or something, you know, and everybody gets this funny inside laugh, inside joke, being able to print the shirt afterwards is fantastic. The guy who actually was running the thing was telling us about a shirt that he had printed for his wife, and he was like, I think she wore it once. <That's funny. laughs> It was a fun game. There were several others in there that we, you know, we'll have to bust out at one of our game nights or something because it was the same, like, even though we're using digital assets, you know, we're, like, tangibly laughing and playing together. It was a lot of fun. It was something we will definitely be busting out sometime again soon.
Did you know that in 2 weeks, TantrumCon is going to be here?
I can't yes. believe it.
Oh, my. It's coming so fast.
It's kind of blowing my mind. I have no idea if we're actually ready, but hopefully we will be.
We're not.
It's here.
We're not ready yet.
We're so ready.
But we will be.
Right.
That's true. We will be.
Yeah, we are definitely in the final stretch. I know we're ordering signage and bags and t-shirts and all the cool stuff that needs to go up in the space. We've been checking the numbers, and we would love for you guys to spread the word. We'd love to get even more people out there to just have a humongous event. We've got literal tons of board games will be at the event today.
Pallets and pallets.
It's not a joke, actually. No. Because
today I missed a warehouse delivery. They called me and they were like, oh, we're here. We've got 3 pallets of stuff for you. I was like, oh, goodness. I don't even know what to do with that.
We need a shout out to Skybound Games and Jewel City Games because they are providing 600 copies of Sorcerer City. So every
Guardians Call?
Some cool game is coming call. From.
Sorry. Sorcerer City.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
I'll double check.
Don't hold us to this, but
a game from Jewel City Games
will be in your bag when you arrive at TantrumCon.
I will check.
Yeah, we're giving away
Guardians Call.
Tons of games from for Play to Wins and Learn to Plays. We've got tons of raffles and prizes. Our premier backers, the people who got the premier badges, are going to get some additional perks and some
it
really
is Guardians
cool games.
Call. Guardians Call. Guardians Call. Thank you, Melissa.
Good call.
Guardians Call from Jewel City Games and Skybound Games. Everybody is going to get a copy.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Woo. So much game playing. We can't wait for it. We're going to be there. Our whole crew plus the interns, all of our interns, I believe, are going to be there, including Tina, our international intern. She posted a cool letter to Facebook earlier this week from some of her travels.
Oh, from Copenhagen?
Was she in Copenhagen or just that was playing cool. Copenhagen or
she
both?
Was both.
Both.
She was in Copenhagen and she was playing cool. Copenhagen. Yeah.
Excellent. So be sure to check that out. We post those on Facebook, and she kind of gives an update on her international travels to different board game stores. But everybody will be there. Looking forward to hanging out and having a really good time. Hopefully we'll shake this cold before then.
Yeah. So don't forget, there are events to sign up for once you get your badge. So
going
you
can, fast and furious.
Yes. So there are some events that are almost unlimited. Katie and I and Melissa will be Lizzie Funkhauser will be running a 100-person version of
cartographers.
Oh, very cool.
So it's going to be exciting.
So there are some events that are super big like that. And then there are also some just learn to plays and play with us games. So it'll be fun. So don't forget to sign up for those events. And then don't forget to purchase your swag. There are tons of cool shirts and board game bags that you can pre-order ahead of time.
Yeah, very cool. You can get all that information at tantrumcon.com. And I think that's pretty much all we got for the show. Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening, tuning in. Welcome to 2020. Hope your year is off to a great start. Hope we were a part of that. And we hope to see you guys at our event the end of this month. Thanks so much. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.
Just like to give you a brief message. No.